existing of the old community and the other members of the community is the and John D. Simpson was interviewed, and thanks very much for making yourself available for this meeting. And of course, if you're listening in this, thank you for taking time out from the community and the family to have a our vision for Sandy Simple is straightforward issue. We're looking at our government framework, and we have to evaluate the issue there. One of the issues that has come up in the recent off-site cannot look at that relationship between the audit committee and SOAC. I think that this is just a brief introduction. From our point of view, it becomes very difficult. We're not particularly a border director, or even a quota border director. The member needs to overcome the and sometimes it's difficult to make decisions because we do not know, have sufficient knowledge of financial. And the audit committee, in terms of the experience, is obliged to communicate any concern information to the oversight mechanism that controls but that is a lack of the state of our relationship between ourselves and if you look at our annual report, our last meeting, it actually was quite clear that even the level of creativeness among the executives has actually improved, possibly the one big issue that has been of a concern, and I don't know if the committee has any impression that it's actually not been dealt with, because it's actually been dealt with. We had problems in the finding division, but the office has put a plan to correct that, and every one of our committees from I think the last 2 weeks of last year were read feedback, and it does appear, and we are convinced that there is significant improvement taking place. I guess what underlying that is possibly the skills, the quality of skills that we have, and it's something that we're saying before that if we're not careful in actually looking at the skills in the international body, we stand the risk of compromising that institution. I certainly don't think that we can actually carry on, for example, Russian background, that we have one to two top level of accountants working for the Auditor General's office. And I think the Auditor General's office needs to be given the leeway to attract that kind of caliber person. Quite frankly, we cannot keep up to the point that sacrifice for political duties. But you really get to a point where you actually want the Auditor General. A place where young or chartered accountants want to see a career. And I mean, it's actually quite big. Therefore, it's actually going to work well with us to attract the quality of people. That's actually the one reason that we always think the people business. But again, let me say that I think they've done reasonably well under the circumstances. And I'm not saying this for Kimmy here. I mean, Kimmy could actually have been in a big corporate today. Today in South Africa. But we need people like him. We need people like what is the job. And we really need to think seriously about that. Having a qualified audit support for them. And I really believe that they were proactive and acted incisively to prevent that, because for their office to have a qualified audit support is not good publicity for the nation. If the auditors are qualified, it really doesn't read well. So I would compliment the office on that.
I can maybe just elaborate that the audit committee also, you know, got sufficient assurances from both the external as well as the internal auditors that they are satisfied with the internal control and the monitoring of the business. As a member of the quality assurance committee, and also report to the audit committee, I can also give assurance that the work done by the individual auditors goes in a stringent quality control process. They're externally evaluated by the independent regulatory board of auditors, as well as other independent experts, as well as an internal review, and that there was an improvement over the year from last year on the quality of the work done, especially with regard to the new appointments. Which is very encouraging. The Auditor General's office also did a thorough investigation how to proceed against the members who continue not performing the acceptable standards. And they've now established a policy and procedures to go forth in this regard, which is also.
Can I just add on what John said? I think it's very important for us to always think about the reputation of the office. And this is where just going back to the skills issue, we cannot afford to have in this country any question mark being raised about the Auditor General's office. Because I'm really from an oversight point of view, which is actually the highest oversight office in terms of the accounting function in the country. But I think when you think about the skills and quality of things that we need, we really need to think about at the highest level of that office. If you compromise the integrity of that office, I think a lot of things in our country get compromised. So I really like the members of the committee.
Thank you.
much, Chair. Chair, I'd want to also update the committee on the issue that one of the committee members regarding the position of the chief financial officer. And I'm very concerned that this is the one thing that we secured towards the end of last year, of the next chief financial officer. And I report that in the last 2 weeks we have made an outline which was accepted for the permanent appointment for the chief financial officer. After a long process of trying to identify the right candidate, the effort has been successful in receiving a call to join the office of May. And all the people who are on board in the finance area who are in that position of senior manager position will be on board to hand over the responsibility to the permanent appointment of the May. So that is comforting, Chair, from the point of view that this is not be left in the cold, you know, to finalize the process. And also the process has also been accelerated to fill other extra positions as well for the financial management, management accounting, senior management position. The process is also close to finalization. So I think it's comforting to know to the the other issue I also want to highlight that our session on the 8th of April coming back from COVID for the specific proposal on issues that are to the assignment and our events. We will also be updating the policy on the government framework, which will be making more time for the question of the government. So all the issues that we want to highlight will be specific in the policy program.
Chair, I missed the agenda, and I think the way you introduced this morning's session was going to be more about process issues. You want to try and find out how we as an oversight body can take benefit from the work that the audit committee do. And rather than the specific substance issues, we're talking about management. I think the substance issues are a case in point, as I think was towards the end of last year when the Oversight Committee found that we were quite abreast of financial developments in the office, which caused some fairly serious changes to budget. So, we seem to be in the dark on occasions, and certainly on some of those occasions it seemed that the Audit Committee, that we need this relationship with the Audit Committee, in order to facilitate our oversight work, in order to facilitate, I think, the accountability that the Constitution requires of the Audit Committee towards Parliament. So, if you don't mind, I'm just trying to say, can we get back to the governance framework which you were talking about?
Thank you, Chair. It seems to me from the information that you've been given, but the specifics raise the basic issue that we are not really outside what's happening. And it seems to me that probably the only way that we could keep abreast of what is happening is by having a regular briefing from the board. Because a briefing, I think, is the only thing that we could really confidently have. So that they don't have to wait until an issue becomes such that they have, as stated in the Act, that they think that they have a concern, so that we know about it before it becomes a real matter of concern. And so that we can be the best on the matter. So I would suggest that we could get something of a quarterly meeting or something by the
think the thing that we did is the fact that we have
maybe two, like you suggested, two reasons to actually be very good. And then if and when any specific issue arises, then when whatever ask for a meeting, always been available, so on and so on. We don't really have any issue. The nice suggestion would be that possibly after the completion of the annual audit, also actually the proponent can actually spend some time talking about that was really not actually the annual report once you actually on the order of moved. And I think we finalize the financial problem about making sure that before it's tabled in Parliament, so you don't then also want the price that you actually think in the annual report. So I think it might actually be a very, very good purpose that we actually did ask before the report Parliament is finalized. So that I think that's a significant milestone. Also, we also want to actually look at the plan, what is intended to be looked at, and also possible that if anything, communicate to you that we're comfortable with the current plan, and maybe highlight the areas that all the general auditors, the external auditors, and indeed the management in the office issues that need particular attention. And on that one, I think we're all going to be active about it, because some of these issues that they are raised is actually not saying that there is a problem. There could actually be critical areas that we need to look at, not really to raise any alarm or any alarm bells. So, for me, those are actually the two important meetings, and then have in between if anything that arises. But it will also be very good for us to possibly spend more time in terms of the performance report in a certain way. We really get much more substance of actually what happened. And financial statements are very good when it comes to numbers. But the performance report is actually very detailed. I know we like looking at that, but it's actually a very good sense of what's happening.
I would agree that this would be an overkill for us in courting. In terms of the Act, we as a committee are only obliged to meet three times a year, if I remember correctly. So we could actually, if it were quarterly, we could see twice between meetings and we would have nothing further to report. So I think that definitely would be an overkill. I would support annually and biannually if there's a need, because everybody's busy and we don't want to waste your time either. So one of the schedule half yearly meetings that maybe cancel one of them if there's nothing important to report. My fear is if we report too often, we'll come here and Dr. Woods will reprimand us for reporting on process issues and not governance issues. We'll come and talk about the fact that when you have thousands of laptops in an organization, control over them is an issue, and I don't think that's what he necessarily wants to hear about. Not that he has to speak to the whole committee, but I take his point that the governance rather than the process I'm putting it wrong. He's interested in the governance process and framework, but I don't think he really wants to know all the substantive issues.
No, I think this meeting wasn't an meeting for us to discuss financials of the incident. As I was saying, every year we have to review the corporate governance framework for the incident. And if you know, with the introduction of the Public Audit Act, we're still in the early years. It's different to some things that the corporate governance framework is that has been filled out by the Public Audit Act. And one of the issues which we have identified is the relationship between the audit committee and SOAS, because Mr. Moyo and I have on occasion sent out some records which the Ministry of Law and Health and the Ministry of Students consult and inform me about and who they have sent back to the committee. But it was just, so this is really, I think what Dr. Wood was referring to was the issue that we're trying to address in this meeting. Is just the relationship to the audit committee and ourselves, so that there's good knowledge, depth of knowledge that both of us can do our work. And I think equally, I think the audit committee could have been prompted by some of the comments that we're making in other matters in our work. Dr. Wood?
Yeah, last year, I'm from the committee. You know, I think we said that the normal governance model has a board committee, which is a subcommittee of a board, and so the board committee knows who it reports to. Yeah. But we all had to get back, and because of the act, as the chairperson said, it says to be made. And I like the way our discussion is going. I think we're starting to formulate something which is of convenience to both sides and to another. But I think the act, there's no other doubt that the act is good made, but we have to accept that overall. I really wanted to know, how do you find it in this committee when you out there a member at the board to report you? Doesn't that tend to make you go and speak to the Auditor General a lot? It could be unhealthy for a local government for them. I mean, it's an audit committee, it's some sort of disjunction.
The audit committee may also report to the Auditor General. Now, if you understand the peculiar nature of the corporate governance framework and the Public Audit Act, the Auditor General acts as a board director. So they are reporting any concerns they have. But as you say, it is not a regular reporting relationship that the Auditor General only has with the board director. And I think the point is that we can appreciate. So I think we'd like to hear from the board.
Yeah, from we don't really find it interesting or very peculiar in that chair has been you've got the office into the Auditor General office, then you've got the functioning of the Auditor General office under the DAG, so 10. And we honestly don't see our role other than fulfilling that governance function and interfere in taking it. I mean, we had to spend a lot of time at the Auditor General office to call the committee, to call the invited guests when we need to raise any issues. And in a few occasions, we were said to be worried about certain things. For example, I think it was last year or the year before, we were worried about the performance report. We can expect line of communication are open. Certainly, even the discussions that we had last year here in Parliament about our own relationship actually work.
What they need to factor into that is when you look at the audit plan, and if there's any Let me elaborate that the Office of the Auditor General, that has a policy and procedures which they follow and which the Audit Committee looks into to see whether we evaluate that criteria and whether it's acceptable and so forth. So we apply our minds on the manner in which the auditors are. on Caltech is a function of the audit criteria. And then it's the application of that criteria and then to make recommendations based on that criteria. But if the ultimate decision is obviously first, then I think they must also have their say on the criteria and whether they agree with the criteria and whether it should be adjusted.
I think the proper test doesn't take away from faith. I think you need. But in the year, for this coming year, I thought I might be wrong. I thought what we agreed is that we will maybe give them a new body tower coming in on the right, so they will take it. They will take it to the departure that we will tell them that after this cycle, I think this cycle could go up to 3 years, they will not be appointed. I think that the other policy communicated to them that will come to me after this cycle, I think it was 3 years. Yeah, it might have been. Yeah, that after the cycle, they may not be appointed. So we are going to start after the, it is clear after the 2009. We have to start the process. And the best time to start the process, quite frankly, is as soon after year end as possible. We will realize that by the time the accounts have been finalized in the table, we are also in a position, just like any company, to appoint or reconfirm the appointment of the auditor. So straight after the year end before the account was tabled.
Okay.
Annual appointment, you're right. Even in companies, it's actually a normal thing that auditors are appointed annually. I mean, even if you are calling the executive for your firm, you actually have to go through that process on a basis.
Which means that there needs to be a formal relationship between ourselves and the IT
interactions.
Yes. Okay. So if we can look at it. Are there any other matters relating to the relationship between the audit committee and the external committee?
some kind of personal view towards the men. I think that as you said that I and a couple of others that it doesn't quite gel. We haven't improvised, but and if we have to, that's what we'll use. But maybe we need the appropriate outside expert opinion as to whether there isn't some other way to rework a clause or to formalize some of these things that better involve. Because I'm not comfortable when we, and I understand why you said when we refer to the work of Jim as the board, that everything that takes reason between the relationship between the sexes. So, I would feel important to just have a considered opinion, given that at the time we have a supporting document, given the meaning of the concept of the Oil Commission, that the government should be realized what we expect, what the advertising committee and certain rules would change, and sure, anyone can end that. Perhaps we never thought through the worst case here before.
What
do you think
about as I understand, the Office of General Counsel is working freely in this country. And we've got a timeline until the beginning of June. Over the Auditor General. Who responsible for that? to determine the independence of those people so that they cannot in by themselves be influenced, be influenced, be command to the Auditor General. Because the Auditor General by law is independent in terms of tax and our constitution. Once you start taking a board in control of the Auditor General, it could potentially undermine the independence of the Auditor General. But I don't know if we want to bring this back today now, because when we're looking at our corporate governance framework, we'll be looking at those issues again. But if we trash that issue out, lot of discussion, not saying that it's incredibly discussion of the major issues. But we finally have a sense of the reality of independence of the Chapter 9 institution and how easily a board can come and start ordering an Auditor General around. Tomorrow's going to be a tough test. So there we're looking at exactly what the Auditor General wants to do by performing the financial report check and performing the audit. And that will set the foundation for the work that we're doing. So what will be looking at this? We'll be looking at the team tomorrow. But we'll be